So I'm just want to start by saying I'm thankful to the organizers for giving me the chance to share with you some of the work I've been doing on the connections between a family of branch angle related genes and photosynthesis. So plant architecture, which is sort of generally defined as the spatial distribution of organs, both in the air and in the soil, is a really important target for crop improvement and has been for some time now, because the architecture of the plant really strongly influences the access to resources that the plant has. So things like sunlight, water, and nutrients, as well as competition with other plants and interaction with soil biota, can be really strongly influenced by the shape of the overall plant and the distribution of organs. In agriculture, we think a lot about how this also changes our access to the plant. So things like the amount of space that a tree can take up, training and pruning regimes, as well as sprays and harvest needs, can be really strongly altered by different tree shapes. And currently in fruit tree agriculture, a lot of the ways that we achieve different shapes at this point in time is through manual manipulation. And so coming from a genetic improvement unit, we're really interested in looking at how understanding the underlying genetics and seeing if sort of one day we can rationally design tree shapes for different applications and environments. So horticulturists for many years have been aware of a host of complex physiological factors that go into how a tree gets its shape. So for example, and have then developed a set of rules to sort of based on these physiological factors. So for example, for pruning cuts, there are different rules for making different cuts that will lead to specific shape changes. And these changes that happen are all based on things like apical dominance, gravitropism, phototropism. So we're interested in approaching this from a genetic perspective. In particular, my work has focused on the genetics underlying branch angle. So at the Appalachian Fruit Research Station, we have a variety of different stone fruits of peaches bred by our now retired stone fruit breeder, Ralph Scorza, that represent sort of a spectrum of different branch angle phenotypes. So compared to a standard peach here in the middle, we have on one end of the spectrum this pillar variety that has these very narrow, upright branch angles, compared to sort of the other end of the spectrum of having weeping peaches that have horizontal to downward branch growth. So a few years back, sequencing technology developed at our station. Using sequencing technology, our lab identified a number of genes that are responsible for some of these phenotypes. And among those, identified a family of genes called the IGT genes. And the IGT stands for a conserved motif that all of these genes, all of these proteins have in their protein sequence. They all have an IGT amino acid sequence. And they fall into three different groups within the family. So there's the TAC group, the lazy group, and the DRO group. And representative of those groups, TAC1 and lazy1, they affect branch angle in opposite ways in the shoot. So for example, when you knock down expression of TAC1, you get this pillar phenotype, whereas when you knock down expression, of lazy1, we get the opposite phenotype in shoots, where we get these horizontal to weeping branches. And DRO, which stands for deeper rooting, we've seen that this seems to play a similar role to lazy, but in the roots, where it's affecting branch angles and overall system root system depth. But today I'm really going to focus on the TAC1 gene, and its relationships to light signaling. So to tell you a little bit more about TAC1, TAC1 was the gene that we identified using the sequencing method I mentioned earlier as the mutated gene in the pillar variety. But in addition to affecting branch angle in peaches, it also affects branch angle in monocot species such as rice. This is actually where it was first identified and how it gets its name. TAC1 stands for tiller angle control. So when you have varieties that have lower expression of TAC1, you get these very narrow upright growth of tillers. And in our group, using Arabidopsis mutant analysis, we were able to show that TAC1 also affects lateral branch angle in Arabidopsis. And then more recently, using our transgenic plum system at AFRS, we've shown that silencing in plum of TAC1 leads to these tiller phenotypes. And this is true when we move these plants out to the field as well. So these have gone through multiple field seasons and still have this very strong upright pillar phenotype. So this really confirmed for us that loss of TAC1 leads to this narrowing of branch angles. So in addition to genetics, there are a number of environmental factors that play a role in influencing plant shape, and light is one of these. So a number of connections have been made in the literature between light and organ angles. So, for example, work in the hanging viney plant Tradescantia showed that when you grow plants in the dark or with photosynthetic inhibitors, you get this growth upwards as opposed to light growth where you get the normal sort of hanging phenotype. In all the shade avoidance literature, a number of connections have been made with organ angles where when you grow plants in shade, you get changes in the narrowing of leaf angles as well as lateral branches in Arabidopsis. So I became very interested in asking whether TAC1 plays a role in any of these pathways. So to sort of continue some of the work done in Tradescantia, but with Arabidopsis, we grew plants in the dark for 3 days and saw that both branch angles narrow as well as the tip angles start growing much more vertically. And this is true in shade conditions too, so when we grow plants in far red light. And these are very reminiscent of the TAC1 mutant phenotype in Arabidopsis. So given this, I was very curious to see what happens to TAC1 gene expression in these conditions. And sure enough, when you grow plants in the dark or far red conditions, you completely abolish TAC1 gene expression. I also was interested to see if we overexpress TAC1, can we sort of rescue these branch angle phenotypes? And compared to the wild type up here, plants overexpressing TAC1, they still narrow in the dark, but to a lesser extent. So that suggested to us that there are both TAC1-dependent and TAC1-independent pathways at work here. So based on the expression data, I was definitely interested in the dynamics of how quickly this gene expression is lost, because I was just looking at 3-day endpoints. So I did a time course, and this is actually a really relatively slow process. So it takes 24 to 48 hours for TAC1 expression to reach these very low levels. But this does mimic how long it takes for the branch angles to start changing in the dark as well. So after getting this data, I followed this up with asking what aspects of light signaling are actually regulating TAC1 expression. So I looked, thinking about both photosynthesis and photoreceptor-mediated light color pathways, and I had tested a whole bunch of different mutants in these pathways as well as chemical inhibitors to block different parts of these processes to ask what effect this has on TAC1 expression. And to make a very long story shorter, looking at all of these genes within the photoreceptor-mediated pathways, none of them had a very large effect on TAC1 expression. So while these pathways probably do influence TAC1 expression, none of them really explain this very strong light dependence. To the contrary, when I treated with some photosynthesis inhibitors that block early steps of photosynthesis, so I used norfluorazone and DCMU, we see this abolishment of TAC1 expression. And this was work done in seedlings. When I also watered adult plants with norfluorazone, I not only saw a drop in TAC1 gene expression, but also started to see the branch angle or branch tips start to grow more vertically, similar to dark conditions. So together, this has led us to sort of a simple model to explain how one of the ways that photosynthesis affects branch angle is through a TAC1-dependent pathway. So given ideal light conditions, TAC1 stays high. There's no signal, at least through this pathway, to change growth angle. So the plant can continue in its trajectory. But under prolonged shade or dark conditions, like the shade of another plant or running into some other structure in the field, eventually TAC1 expression will go down. The angles will start to grow up and then be able to eventually, hopefully, escape those unsatisfactory conditions. So ongoing work, I've been looking at the ways in which the connections between light signaling and the other family members, the lazy and drow type genes. So this is just a video of a drone flyover in our architecture block. And you can see, so these are the TAC silenced plums, the pillar plums in the background, and they're very dark green. And these are the lazy silenced plums in the foreground. And we've noticed that they're much lighter green. They're fairly chlorotic, and this is a persistent phenotype. So this, plus a lot of work in Arabidopsis, has really shown that not only photosynthetic pathways, but also some of these photoreceptor-mediated pathways seem to be playing all kinds of different complicated roles and differentially regulating different lazy and drow family genes. And this is just a picture down the row of the chlorophyll difference between those two. So with that, I'd like to thank the Dardic Lab, AFRS, and USD, NEFA, and NSF for funding.
Thank you. We have time for questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are the photosynthetic rates different between the pillar and the lazy fetus or what?
So far, what we've looked at, we've just looked at like chlorophyll fluorescence. I've looked in the Arabidopsis. I haven't looked in the plum yet, but they didn't show any difference. But it does. We haven't actually looked at the chlorophyll levels in the plums yet. I imagine they will be level or different, but haven't looked at rates.
Can you test if there's any connection between type one and also the spread electron? Because next one, you know, for the branching. Is there any connection between them?
I don't know. I haven't looked at that. I think there was a paper on lazy and lazy-like genes, which is striglactone, but I haven't looked at TAC1 yet.
How many copies of the TAC1 gene are there in the peaches?
So in peaches, we just see one. And that seems to be in most plant species that we've looked at. There seems to be one TAC1 and then a bunch of lazy and drow.
Yes, we've looked at citrus too, and just one copy of citrus.
Yeah. And it seems to show up too once lateral branching shows up. So we don't see TAC in ancient species, but we see it starting in like spruces and.
Any more questions?
Endogenous. So these are definitely very connected to hormones. So it appears that the lazy and drow genes are upstream of auxin, so they seem to be affecting auxin distribution. But TAC1, I think some early work on the plums, it looked like it was higher in the peaches, TAC1 peaches, but that was also confounded by different cultivars. So it's still unclear the relationship between TAC and auxin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.